Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, Senior Pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's great to see you all here inside of our sanctuary on this snowy Sunday morning. Welcome our friends who are also joining us through our church website and also on Facebook Live. We're glad that you are virtually a part of our church family here this morning. So as we're gathered for worship, we invite you to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning, and you'll find our tear-off sheet on the right-hand side. You're invited to tear it off now and fill it out and let us know that you were here with us in worship today. You can jot down prayer concerns and praises that you have in your life, and you can check one of those boxes. If you'd like to know more information about growing in your faith here through our congregation, and after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that are passed later on in our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us online, you're invited to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org. You can download a copy of today's worship bulletin, and you can follow along with us from wherever you find yourself here today. If you take a look at the backside of your bulletin, you see things that are going on in the life of our church. As you're going there, Pastor Brooke is away today for the holiday, and so we hope she has a great Sunday away, and we look forward to her return next Sunday morning. Lots of things that are going on in the life of our church. You see the note that there's a new Advent class that's starting here today. Going to be meeting during the Sunday school hour from 9:30 to 10:30 in room 7. And so if you'd like to be a part of this new class studying the book, An Unlikely Advent, you're welcome to stop down today. And if you would like a book, you can contact us in the church office and we can certainly find one for you. You see the note on the church calendar that tomorrow night is our church board meeting at 6:30 in room 7. It's going to be one of the most exciting church board meetings that we've had in years, and I do not say that tongue-in-cheek. I really mean it. It's going to be a very exciting church board meeting. We're going to be hearing a report from our renovation task force, hearing firm plans to remodel our kitchen and fellowship hall, and we'll see initial sketches to remodel our sanctuary, and so we would love to have you all there. Even if you have just a passing interest, you're more than welcome to come to the board meeting tomorrow night. It's pretty exciting because we have not held a major capital campaign since our sanctuary was built in 1978, and I was born in 78, and so it's been a few years since we've had a major capital campaign. And so these are exciting times, and so we hope that you will come and join us for the board meeting tomorrow night at 6:30 in room 7. As we're looking forward to the season of Advent, next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we'll be decorating the church and the sanctuary for Advent. And so if you'd like to come, we would love to have you all here. Also, if you ordered a Christmas wreath, you can stop by the Welcome Center after church today, and you can pick one up. You can see Cindy Bechtel, they are in, and so we're so thankful for that. And then next Sunday, in between worship services, will be our annual congregational meeting in the fellowship hall at 9:30. We'll be voting on the 2024 budget and leaders and officers. And if the board approves renovations for our kitchen and fellowship hall, we'll also be voting on a capital campaign. And so we look forward to the congregational meeting next Sunday. Lastly, on our long list of announcements, you see the little insert inside your bulletin. We're going to be hosting a Christmas concert here on Saturday night, December the 9th. It's going to be a wonderful concert here inside the sanctuary. Brian Nixon is the worship pastor from First Christian Church down in Keokuk. He'll be singing along with Mark and Luke Earhart. They're the worship pastors at the West Des Moines Christian Church. We're in West Des Moines. And so they've been touring around. They have put out an album together. And so they've been going to various churches. And so we're glad that they're going to be here with us on December the 9th. It's free, it's open to anyone, and so we invite you to invite someone to join you for this Christmas concert here coming up soon.
Will you please join me in our call to worship? Come, let us use our voices to praise the Lord. Our mouths will shout forth praise. Let us use our minds to ponder the wondrous deeds of God. We will call to mind God's mighty acts. With all of our strength and being, let us worship the Lord of love. We will worship from our depths, our soul is exhausted in God.
Please join us for our opening hymn, hymn number 125, O Worship the King. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for your many blessings. We are so grateful for being in your presence today to hear your words. Please allow us to have open hearts and truly listen to what you are telling us today. Allow us to take this peace we knowing in you are always with us and share it with someone who needs it this week. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Colossians in chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. We invite the Spirit of God to be upon us as we hear God's word read in the midst of worship this morning. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. With gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God today for it. We now invite the kids of our church to come down forward and meet Pastor Annika for today's Children's Moment.
Good morning. How are you all doing? That's wonderful. Got a few questions to ask you today. How many of you have talked on the phone? Raise your hand. Yeah? How many of you have talked to your friends? How many of you have talked to your family? Yeah? How many of you talk to God? Yeah? Okay. What if we added every day at the end of it? So, do you talk on the phone every day? How about talking to your friends? Do you talk to your friends every day? Yeah? Do you talk to your family every day? Yeah? How about God? Do you talk to God every day? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Well, in Ephesians, we read, I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. I do not cease to give you thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. So talking to our friends and family is important, and it's easy to do. But why do we not always talk to God every day? Is it because we don't know how? Well, I'm going to share three simple steps with you so that you'll know how. Because talking to God and praying is very easy. We want to praise him. Thank him for what he gave to you, like the beautiful snow day and maybe a snow day away from school, the water to swim in, like the lake or the ocean, or anything. Just thank him. Confess. Tell him what you did wrong and let him know you will try harder next time. Maybe your room really wasn't clean because you shoved everything under the bed. And maybe your homework assignment you never turned in. That's okay. ask God. The third one is ask him to be with you. Ask him to protect you and guide you. Ask him to watch over you when you're sick or when a friend or family member is sick. The good thing about these three simple steps is it doesn't matter what order they're in or what time of day they're in. The best thing to do is talk to God whenever you're ready to talk to God, because he's always willing to listen when you're ready. It just takes 2 or 3 minutes to say a short prayer and setting a time alone to speak to God. So next time you need something to do, sit down in your chair and talk to God. I'm sure he'll be ready for you. Is there anyone that would like to pray us out today, or would you like me to say it? I'll say it. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for giving us today. Please be with us this week as we go about our schoolwork. And Lord, we ask that you stay with us all week long. You guide us and protect us and be with our friends this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? James chapter 2, 15 through 16. I love this church and that we back our prayers of giving with coats, backpacks, food, and other acts of care that give comfort to those in need. With giving hearts, we'll now collect our offering. Ask your blessing on these gifts and help us to use them in ways that glorify your name and further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our prayer hymn today is "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." It's number 91 in the hymnal. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
Diadem and crown him Lord of
Together. Lord God Almighty, we offer thanks to you for the gift of this day. We give thanks for many laughs we share with friends and family. We give thanks for our pets who love us so much and bring us comfort. We thank you for the work that we do as part of this congregation and for members of our community. Thank you for being with us every step of the way through life's up and downs, from joyous celebrations like weddings or birthdays to difficult times such as illness or a loss. You have been there every step of the way. May we always remember how very precious each moment truly is. Lord, we ask you to forgive us when we have done wrong. We are self-seeking and self-assured when we ought to be humble in spirit. Forgive us for relying on the world for knowledge and not following your knowledge. Forgive us for putting ourselves first and not you. We know that we are all imperfect and that you have a plan for each of us. Allow us to always embrace your love and make you our first priority instead of our last. For some here today, Lord, they come with hurting hearts. Some are filled with sorrow and sadness, some filled with disappointment. We pray their faith will not fail during these difficult days. We ask that you comfort them in their time of need. We ask that you give them reassurance that everything will be better. Allow those who need you most to see you are right next to them. We ask that our heavy hearts be filled with joy, laughter, and comfort once again. May your grace sustain us, your peace guard our hearts, and your presence guide us through our daily life. May we be stronger through you. We ask all this in your name. Allow us, Lord, to join our voices together to become as one as we say your prayer that you have taught us all by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our second reading today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. We invite the Spirit of God to be upon us as we hear God's word now. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the innumerable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is also named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God today for it. Here on this last Sunday in the month of November, we're wrapping up our sermon series called A Grateful Heart. It's been fun to work through this sermon series together over these past few weeks because we know that Thanksgiving is something that we're called to work on, not just in this week when we come with our fill of turkey and dressing and pie and rolls and everything else, or in this month, or even in this kind of holiday season that we're entering in. But we know we have so many reasons to be thankful, especially as people who have faith in Christ. We know there's evidence of God's love and grace all around us, and so we cannot help but have grateful hearts. And so we've been naming all these reasons to be thankful in this sermon series together, and as the series comes to an end, I hope that we have cultivated together a more grateful heart inside of us and around us. Now, I know that according to our calendars, according to your phone, according to your pocketbook that you carry around in your purse and bag, we still have another month and like a week or so to go left in 2023. We've just finished Thanksgiving. We're not yet to Christmas. And so New Year's Eve and New Year's Day is still a long ways off. But in the Church of Jesus Christ that is all around us, we live on a different set of calendars. We have other seasons and we have other calendars that we follow. We always mark the season of Christmas and Lent and Easter and Pentecost. And so we mark our time as a church family by our story of faith, not just by the calendars on our phones and in our bags and at home. And so because of this, in the church year and in the church calendar, today is like a New Year's Eve of sorts. Happy New Year! Aren't you so glad that you are here? It is this case because next Sunday is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, and the church calendar and the church year begins on Advent 1. And so whenever you come to church next Sunday, you'll see the Advent wreath and you'll see garland. The sanctuary will be all decorated. There'll be Christmas trees up here in the front. The pyramids, like these claws that we have on the table and the pulpit and lectern, they'll be changed from green to purple. The banners behind us will be different. They will then say hope, peace, joy, and love. The sanctuary and the whole church will look differently. It'll be a new church for us to come worship in. We'll have a new sermon series. We'll have new songs, Advent and Christmas carols, all telling us to prepare for the birth of Christ again. All that starts next week. And so, if our worship ministry team had done better planning and had done our homework, today we could have broken out noisemakers and like pointy hats. We could have had streamers. We could have been singing Auld Lang Syne instead of Crown Him with Many Crowns. We could be sipping on champagne and like sparkling grape juice. We could stay up till midnight. We could invite Ryan Seacrest to come and join us here. We could be counting down the seconds. We could have a big ball in the fellowship hall. We could be singing and dancing all night long until noon and it's time to go home. But we could be singing all day long, because today for us in the church is like this transition Sunday. More specifically, today in the church calendar is called Christ the King Sunday. Maybe you noticed that in the hymns that we've been singing. There's a theme behind them. The last Sunday before we start Advent next week. And so on Christ the King Sunday, in this last Sunday in the church year, you might think that the scriptures would reflect Jesus coming in fancy clothes and like horse-drawn carriages. He'd be dressed to the nines like he was going out and Ryan Seacrest rocking New Year's Eve. You'd think that we'd be describing some kind of king, being king over the whole entire earth and all the country and all the lands. You might even think that the scripture today would be that one from Palm Sunday when Jesus comes riding into the Capitol and people are cheering and calling his name, shouting Hosanna, jumping and saying, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." You may think that would be the case on this Sunday. But it's not the case. Even though it is the end of the church calendar year, and it's Christ the King Sunday, and it's almost Advent, the scriptures today are pointing out to us something different. Instead of telling us about Jesus in all the high and mighty and people shouting and singing, instead of the scriptures painting for us with words this amazing scene of here comes Jesus, what we heard in the readings today from the Apostle Paul are these big and long and winding lectures of who God is and who Jesus is. And when I say that Paul is giving us a lecture today, I actually mean Paul is giving us a lecture. It's our lucky day, right? A lecture from Paul. In fact, if you go back and you read the passage from the book of Ephesians in the original Greek, you will see that what Paul is giving us is literally one long run-on sentence. Like in the Greek, it's over 100 words all mashed together with no punctuation, no periods, no paragraphs, word after word after word. I mean, it's almost like one of your kids texting you, and they don't know how to use punctuation. And so they're texting and as fast as they can with all kinds of misspelled words. It's almost like the Apostle Paul is so excited what he has to tell us that he cannot get it out fast enough. He can't write fast enough. It's like he's writing like he's running out of time. He's jotting it down so quickly. And so in the passage that we heard from Ephesians 1, Paul begins with like the usual, I've heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, your love for the saints, and for this reason I pray for you every single day. I do not cease in giving thanks to God for you in every single one of my prayers. That's Paul's usual formula about how he begins every single letter. But then once he puts a period there, he dives into this long run-on sentence that's one long word vomit on top of each other, word on top of word and word. He says, I pray to God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, who give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, your heart may be aligned to his glorious inheritance, the immeasurable power before us, and this God has given us all these things. It goes on and on and on, and it is intense. It is hard to read. I had to practice reading the scripture before I came to church, because you get out of breath reading what Paul says. It is long and winding, and if Paul were in middle school English class, the teacher would hand the paper back and say, do this again. Add some paragraphs and semicolons here or there. But the reason behind all of this going on and on about God, what Paul's trying to tell us is this. He's trying to make us change how we view the world. He's trying to make us view the world from the perspective, not just of things on earth, but from the perspective of heaven. He says, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wants to see our lives not just filled with the worries and struggles of our day, but see things from the point of view where God reigns and lives. See our own life in the way that God sees us, as good and as worthy, as loving, as created in the image of God. He wants us to have our eyes open so that we can come to know Christ and see the world through the eyes in which Christ sees us. That's what Paul is going on and on and on about. He wants us to change our perspective and change how we view our lives. Now, I appreciate this perspective change because maybe you're like me. I mean, maybe you're like me in that there are times when life is heavy and life is hard, and it feels like in life we are down on the ground and we are in the trenches of life and we're simply just trying to survive and make it through every single day. Like your life is so full of things that are individually on their own, aren't that much and are all good and wonderful, but then once you add them all together and pile them in one calendar, stuff them in one box, it is a lot all added together. I mean, if you've got kids and grandkids, then you know the drill. You've got school and homework and your job and maybe their job, and then you add in sports and band and choir and then scouts, and then you add in games and concerts and rehearsals and then recitals. Then you add in student council and you add in school clubs, and then you try to make a place for time for family or for a kid to just be a kid or a grandkid. I mean, soon we're spinning all kinds of plates and all is fine and well and you're doing the best that you can, and it is all good until someone gets sick. And then it throws the whole delicate situation out of whack and everything falls apart. Sometimes life is so crazy and the only way through a hard situation is through, and so you have to keep on going and you put your head down and go. And we tell ourselves that it's going to get better and that life will slow down once we get through this season, and so we keep on going. And so in those moments when life is full and rich and our calendar runs our life, all we can see in life is the things that we have to do. And at times it's too much to handle. I mean, we've all been there before, and if we're not there now, we'll be there again. And so what Paul is trying to tell us is that as people of faith, we have to learn what it means to take a step back, to learn what it means to rise up and see things from God's point of view. I mean, in the midst of all that we're called to do in life, we get to see each other as God sees us, to treat each other as Jesus would have, to offer grace and compassion instead of anger and hate. We have to take a breath and let the Holy Spirit move through our life and fill our words and minds and heart. That's what Paul is trying to tell us to do, to see things from the perspective of God. I mean, it's almost like going to the top floor of a balcony and peering down below, steps down, and seeing the dance floor far under your feet. There you get a higher perspective of what's going on and what is really important. I mean, there's a reason why air traffic control towers at airports are more than 300 feet above the ground. They got to see all the planes and runways and taxiways and keep everyone moving in the right direction. This is what Paul's saying to us. As people of faith in Christ, we have to learn to see things from a Christ-like point of view. You see, for me, at the end of the sermon series in Finding a Grateful Heart, this is the right word for us. The right word as Advent is knocking at our door. Jesus Christ, we know, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for us, and soon we will celebrate that he comes again to show us the way. He lived and he died and rose again so that we might not only have eternal life in the very end, but that we might have everlasting life here and now today. And so giving thanks and living a life of praise means stepping back even just for a moment, to remember that Jesus Christ is still Lord and God is still good. And even if we can't change the situation we are in, we can give thanks to God for the strength and the grace to make it through, even in the hardest of days. Thanks be to God. Amen.